Hi guys, welcome to this episode of our Facts First podcast. For this episode, we are joined by someone whose name is very familiar to all of us, specifically her surname. But later on, we will talk more deeply about her relationship with this very popular politician with a very popular surname. I'd like to introduce to you first, Ms. Noel Duterte. Noel, thank you for joining us on this podcast.
Hi, thank you for asking me.
Okay, I'm not sure whether you're happy with that introduction, but first.
No, that was pretty good. Thank you.
I've been monitoring your posts since 2016 or even earlier, if I'm not mistaken. So nakikita ko na very interesting yung mga posts mo about our sitting president now in the Philippines. But before we go to those issues, I'd like to ask you first, tell us something about yourself and how are you related to President Duterte?
Something about myself. Well, I grew up in Davao City. I lived there for my first 24 years of life, studied there, finished medical school there. And after that, I left for Manila and then the US. I'm related to him because he's my dad's brother.
Your dad's brother? Your father mo younger or older than the president?
Yeah. The president is the oldest of the boys.
Okay. So, ilan kayo magkakapatid?
Ako? I was my mother's only child. My dad has a son now, so I have a half brother.
Okay. So in your case, when was the last time that you saw the president?
Physically. Yeah. I don't actually remember. It was definitely way before I turned 10, maybe 8.
Okay.
Maybe younger.
This was during a visit here, when you visited here?
No. I grew up in Davao, so I grew up like maybe 5 blocks away from Lola Soling's house. So that's where I would see some of the cousins, relatives. That's where I usually saw him anyway. So that was the place that I remember seeing him last.
And you are now based in New Zealand, right?
Correct.
Okay. What do you do there in New Zealand?
I work as a psychiatrist.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay. Wait a minute. Were you close to the president? Before he became the president. The president, of course.
No. Not close.
So how would you describe your relationship with him back then?
I don't really know him like personally that well. I hear stories, or I heard stories when I was growing up from our other relatives.
Okay. And of course, you've been very active on social media, on Twitter in particular, and you were quite critical with the president and of course his policies. Mm-hmm. Close to 6 years na, patapos sa administration yan. Unang-una, I'd like to ask, are you happy being a Duterte?
Being a Duterte, yes, because being a Duterte for me was something I kind of made myself. When I was growing up in Davao, I wasn't, you know, before he even entered politics, I know that their father was the governor, but I never identified as the daughter of, or the cousin of, or the niece of, or the granddaughter of. I was just Noel. So I kind of made Noel Duterte my identity. So it had really very little to do with whatever they did.
Basically, what you achieved, where you have gotten this at this stage in your life, has nothing to do with your being a Duterte, no?
Yep, that's correct.
Thank you. Pero I'd like to know about your thoughts. Kasi nga, of course, the president, at least based on some surveys now in the Philippines, he remains very popular. Okay, mm-hmm. There are many different reasons regarding that, according to political scientists and analysts. But of course, a lot of Filipinos are also not happy with the way he's been running this country since 2016. In your case, it's not your choice. Talaga yun ang pinili mo. You were born into that into that surname. How is this affecting you? I mean, you're back there in New Zealand, pero you have a relative who's very divisive here in the Philippines.
Well, I just recently moved here, so I was previously living in New York. I was there during the 2016 elections, both US and Philippines, so we kind of had a similar experience. At first, I was really horrified to learn that he was running. I didn't really believe it, so lesson learned, I should believe things that I hear. I was told about it back in 2013 by some people from Davao that he was going to run, and I really said, like, no, that's not going to happen. Pero yung pala totoo, my gosh.
So yes, 2013.
Yeah, may balita na umiikot-ikot siya around the country, na parang soft campaign, kumbaga, nagpapakilala. So may nagsabi sa akin noong 2013, it was about December, na yun nga daw, yun ang kanilang ipupush. He's going to be the next president. I'm like, no, imposible. But apparently, pwede pala.
Why did you find this horrifying nung time na yun?
I didn't feel he was qualified to be president. And I just thought, knowing his mouth, how that would be on a national scale, international scale pa, imagine that. So I once told one of my high school classmates who asked me about him, I said, really, he's hanggang Davao lang dapat talaga siya. He should not try for more, but
sabihin, kasi ang style nila ng 2015, they packaged him as a reluctant candidate, someone who didn't want to be president at all, but because of supposedly overwhelming clamor on the ground, he was forced to substitute, diba? I remember that, December 2015. So based on account mo, as early as 2013, talaga nagpa-plano na pala siya.
Yun ang narinig ko. May nagsabi sa akin.
Okay. Ano yung mga, talk to us about your interesting exchanges with people. You were in New York, diba? Nung time na when he was elected. Ano yung mga usual na tanong sa'yo? Especially after he started talking the way he does. After, for example, when he cursed Obama, when he cursed the Pope, when the drug war was unleashed.
A lot of Filipinos in New York at that time were actually for him, at least where I was, like yung mga Pilipino na kilala ko in New York. They were impressed, siguro, by the style of speech na, you know, he's unfiltered. He just says whatever is on his mind. They probably voted for Trump too, actually, come to think of it. So a lot of questions that I got were, wow, kamag-anak mo, oh my gosh, that's like impressed na impressed sila. And I'm like, really, there's nothing to be impressed by, but okay, whatever.
Ano sinasabi mo sa kanila when they were telling you, impressed na impressed sila sa'yo?
I would say there's nothing to be impressed by. After he won, I would actually put it out bluntly. He kills people. Like, why do you admire him? And usually that stops the conversation. Then they don't really, you know, want to talk to me about it anymore once I say that.
So, ano siya, parang the conversation immediately stopped as soon as
they don't continue to engage with me. Parang conversation killer siya. Pag sinabi kong, you know, pumapatay siya ng tao, talagang totoo yun. And then they'll say, ah, talaga? Okay, next topic.
Hindi sila naniniwala. You got that sense? They didn't believe you?
Yeah. Hindi sila naniniwala.
But when the bodies started piling up, how were the conversations like between you and others encountered in the streets, for instance?
Yung iba, medyo natahimik. Hindi na sila masyadong nagtatanong about him. Pero yung iba, bilib na bilib pa rin. Meron akong colleague dun sa New York na talagang sa healthcare, na talagang bilib na bilib pa rin hanggang ngayon. Feeling niya dapat si Sarah maging presidente next.
Pag-uusapin natin mamaya yan, yung kasing si Sarah Duterte. Pero magpapunta tayo dito kay Duterte, the president of the dad. yung decision mo to go public about your criticisms dun sa president, was this a conscious choice or talagang, or this was something natural? Para bang, you had to do it. Someone had to speak out from among the Dutertes.
Yes, I felt that someone had to speak up. I was reading, ano pa noon eh, iba pa yung Facebook ko noon eh, noong 2016, it was my old Facebook account where I was connected with a lot of classmates from Davao. And it was really horrifying to see posts, nakikipag-away, ng nag-iinsulto. It was not nice. And then the news of the Korean businessman who was killed by the police.
Sa Kamkrami, CG.
Kamkrami, yeah. That after that, it was really like somebody has to say something because wala talaga that I saw from Davao who was saying anything except privately. So I felt na, no, this can't go on. Somebody has to say something and I guess it'll have to be me. So I told my mom before I started, actually. Nag-usap muna kami. Sabi ko, this is what I'm going to do. Magagalit siguro yung mga friends mo sa'yo. Sorry.
So, ano sabi niya?
Okay lang. She was for it.
So siya mismo, she's not happy with the way your uncle has been running the Philippines.
No, my mother never liked him.
Okay. Pero I'm curious about how they perhaps tried to go after you. May ganun ba? Inaway ka ba ng ilang mga kamag-anak? Or was there some sort of pressure on you?
Wala. Sanay sila sa conflicting political opinions.
You're in the family. So, from the first family, immediate family talaga ni President Duterte, may mga lumapit ba sa'yo o inaway ka o pinagsabihan ka?
Wala.
About threats?
Threats? Wala. Yung mga, ewan ko kung trolls or real people, but yung sa social media, just, you know, telling me to shut up or dilawan or whatever.
ano yung worst sa mga harassment online na na-encounter mo because of your opinions on the president?
Wala masyadong, walang threats to harm. Yun lang, dilawan ka, tumahimik ka, inggit ka lang. Hanggang dun lang talaga. Like, no, hindi kasing, it's not as bad as what other critics have gotten in terms of actual threats na sana ma-rape ka or, you know, pag umuwi ka dito or pag makita kita, mamamatay ka, ganyan.
Mm-hmm.
Wala.
Of course, more than 5 years na si President Duterte dito sa position.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to phrase this, eh, pero do you feel a sense of disappointing vindication? Now you're not happy that you were correct with your warnings way back in 2016. Na lahat ng mga sinabi mo, nangyari, nagkatotoo.
Hindi naman ako nag-predict, pero, well, predict ko yung kanyang mouth, you know, internationally, it would not be received well. I kind of saw that coming. My friends in Davao, the ones who supported him, actually did tell me, you know, give him a chance. Tingnan mo lang what happens. Yun nga lang, that first year pa lang, ang dami ng namamatay, ang dami ng scandals, I guess, although I don't think they considered them scandals. But, you know, deaths here and there, political persecution of Senator De Lima. It was so ugly. So that I kind of predicted, yeah, like the ugliness.
And how do you feel as a Duterte, someone who knew him, he had been predicting or talking about this or warning about these things, pero apparently talagang he's very popular and he was elected. How do you feel about it now?
I was really disillusioned. I still am disillusioned that people that I know, relatives, consider this okay. That it's just par for the course pagka nasa politika ka, that it's sometimes even necessary to do. disillusioned by a lot of people that I thought were smart and insightful. Apparently, hindi pala masyado.
Like po, without naming names, or siguro if you're referring to any particular politician, sino yung mga nakitang very disappointing talaga? Yung you thought should have known better, but they decided to perhaps serve as sycophants of the president.
Oh. Politicians. Carlo Nograles.
Why?
That was really disappointing.
Bakit? Bakit?
Because he's so smart. He is. He's really smart. A really smart guy.
And you guys are related to the Nograleses, right?
No, no. I just, because his father was the congressman in the first district, yeah, for quite some time. They had a feud going with the president long ago.
Yeah.
You know, I think they were pretty vocal about that.
Yeah, makaaway yung dalawang pamilya na yun before. Pero the last time I spoke with Secretary Nograles, ang sinasabi niya, basically related sila eh. Sa mga Duterte.
I don't know. Maybe, but I don't really, di ko alam lahat ng relatives on the Duterte side, so maybe.
Actually, surprising din yun ang time na yun because for the longest time, magkaaway yung mga Nograles at yung mga Duterte. And then when yeah. he became president, biglang naging isa. So maraming kwento dyan na siguro pwede natin pag-usapan sa ibang episode. Pero in this case nga, si President Duterte, patapos na yung termino niya, no? So medyo nagpaparamdam siya. We don't know whether he would actually go for it or not. Pero nagsabi siya last week na he would run for vice president. What do you think of this?
You know, after I kept saying in 2015, no, and actually part of 2016, no, he's not going to win, he's not going to win, or he's not going to run. I'm just going to wait and see because he might actually do it. He won the presidency, so he might think that he can do it again, the vice presidency.
Kasi means talaga bang ganyan si President Duterte as far as, you know, yung he says something but does something else. He keeps people guessing. He jokes a lot in a very serious tone. Deadpan yung humor. And of course, the problem is, kung kainuman mo lang yan, okay, di ba? Problema, presidente yung gumagano. Ganun ba talaga siya sa pagkakakilala?
I think he means what he says at the time that he says it. So at the moment that he says it, naniniwala siya doon. And then later, depending on the reactions, it can be a joke or it can be serious.
As a psychiatrist, I don't know if I just like to get an insight from you. I mean, how would you describe his personality? Knowing everything that you know about him, yung mga public pronouncements niya, the way he speaks about and against critics, against people, yung every week, di ba? He faces the nation, blabbers in constant stream of consciousness somehow. I mean, how would you describe his personality as a psychiatrist?
It's kind of a very broad question. Yun, he whatever comes out of his mouth at the moment, he really does believe it at the moment. Like he's being truthful at the moment. He may change his mind 2 seconds later, but in the moment, what he says is he means what he says. Does he lie? I don't think he would consider it lying because, as I said, he really believes it. But yes, he does change stories.
Isn't that worse? You speak about something with conviction and you believe it at that time.
Mm-hmm. But that's how you fool people is you have to believe your lie.
So, kaya maniwala siya sa sinasabi niya.
Yeah. In the moment, naniniwala siya sa lahat ng sinasabi niya.
Do you know of close relatives or friends na somehow medyo nagising na? Kumbaga, they started as the Duterte's.
Close relatives. Yeah, I mean, I know I have relatives who regret voting for him. Not enough relatives who regret. But yes, there are some who really have changed their minds. But there are also others who you'll never get them to admit it. I think they do feel a bit bad, but I don't think they'll ever admit it.
Well, they don't want to be blamed for their choice in 2016.
For some relatives, kasi it's beneficial to keep quiet or to be on that side.
Okay. Usapan natin 2022. Kahit nasa kalagitnaan ng pandemic here in the Philippines, malaking issue in 2022 elections. So, si President Duterte, nagsabi siya na siguro pinapaniwalaan niya at that time. Whatever his motivation was, he said he would run for vice president. Now, how about the daughter, Sara Duterte? Do you think she would also go for it?
At this point, given all the things that they've been putting out on media, social media, yeah, she will.
Ano sa tingin mo yung misconception or perhaps something that a lot of people don't like to acknowledge about the Dutertes? Kasi they've been in control of Davao for more than 20 years, more than 20 decades. More than 20 years, more than 2 decades. Mm-hmm. And hindi ko madaling basahin kung anong ginagawa nila ngayon. Diba there was a time in Davao na nag-switch sila ng anak niya. Duterte mm-hmm. was vice president dahil term limited na siya. And then Sara Duterte served as mayor. Mm-hmm. Mukha bang ito yung something na knowing the Dutertes, they could and they would do at the highest levels of elective office in the Philippines, sa Malacanang.
Yes.
Bakit?
Once you taste power, it's hard to let it go, you know. Or this kind of power, which is probably the reason why they hindi nila napapakawalan yung Davao, because I mean, why should they? They have it all there. They're treated as royalty. Ginawa silang parang hari at reyna.
Si Sara, but is she even competent to serve as president?
As president, I don't believe so.
Why?
I don't think she has the temperament. Actually, number one, to be president of a country, because that requires a great deal of discipline, patience, integrity, actually. So I don't think that she's able to handle all the things that she'll be required to handle with that office.
But between Sara and her father, who do you think would be better or worse?
Neither. Mostly because they're very without one you can't have the other. Parang ganun. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Si Sara, yung political career niya, was born out of the popularity in the dynasty created by the father.
Yan yes. Sabihin, no? Yes.
Yung away ng mag-ama, is that believable? Kasi magkaaway sila lately, di ba? I don't know kung na-monitor mo yun. Nag-issue ng statement si Sara Duterte, sinasabihin yung tatay niya, na kung tatakbo kayo, at saka si Bongo, huwag niyo na akong gamitin. In so many words, di ba? Yan ang gusto niya sabihin.
Yeah, I read that.
Mukhang totoo ba yung away na yan or mukhang drawing?
Oh, I'm sure they argue a lot. You know, I would say that the family's very prone to arguments and debating, especially with political views. But that particular argument specifically, I think is not really real. Because either way, one of them is going to run or both of them are going to run. But someone is going to run. So.
Pero hindi mo masyadong garapal yun. Sara Duterte running for president, and President Duterte running for vice president.
Yeah, but they've done lots of things that are really not great the last 5 years, so they're not going to think that's anything shameful or garapal. They've been involved in all sorts of exposés or what do you call it? Media attention that doesn't show, you know, them in a good light, but they don't seem to care. So
mukhang may real conflict yung dalawa, pero in this particular case, in that to consider,
I think this is a play to see how people would react. Somebody wrote on Twitter that this new what she had written on her social media was to appeal to the ones who are not sold on the president anymore and want somebody more restrained, I guess, than he's been, because he's completely unrestrained and just unfiltered. So to appeal to that side, who've kind of backed away from the president now, kasi meron naman talagang nagbago ng isip. So to get those people na pwede pala to kasi she's not like him, or she's she's willing to defy him, etc.
Parang ano siya, yung Sara is her own person. Yun ang pinapalabas daw, di ba?
Yeah. But one does not exist without the other. So.
Kasi actually, yung isang congressman before, former congressman, si Lanoy Andaya, he was presenting himself as the spokesman for Sara Duterte. Ang claim niya, that was actually Sara Duterte's way of introducing herself the Filipino voters, yung statement niya against President Duterte. Talagang, she is her own person. She was willing to defy her father. So, kung basa mo, mukhang Duterte pa rin, pero very improved version. Something like that. Mukhang ganun ang goal?
Yeah, I think that's what they're going for. That's what they're trying to present.
But ultimately, you think President Duterte would endorse the daughter?
Yes, because he would endorse anyone who can protect him.
From what?
Anything. Consequences.
Yung mga kasong pwedeng i-file sa kanya pagbaba niya sa pwesto.
Mga kaso, mga kaso ganun. Yeah. So, kung sino man makakaprotect sa kanya, and he trusts very few people, and his daughter is one of them.
Ikaw ba, you're based there in New Zealand for good? You have no plans of returning to the Philippines?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Pero given what's happening now in the Philippines, parang nakakaramdam ka ba ng urge na baka mas kailangan ako dito?
Depende kasi. When I left, yung dahilan ko to leave was career-based. And kind of returning now, especially, would actually not be fruitful career-wise. Number one, I have the name. And that's actually partly why I left Davao too, is because of the name. It's hard to be, I think it would be hard to be a psychiatrist with the name practicing in the Philippines. Unless we had a different kind of system, healthcare system. Ano kasi dun eh, it's you build your own practice. And one of the things that I really, really absolutely hate is kind of yung, hindi nepotism, but yung kakilala basis, like, punta ka sa doktor na to kasi ito anak ni ganyan or ano ni ganyan. I find it's not based on what you can do, but based on what your name is and what your relationships are to people.
Kung hindi siya based on merit, hindi siya meritocracy.
Yeah.
Yung referral na, Noel Duterte yan, adyan ka na kasi Duterte yan. You don't like that, definitely.
No.
Punta ka kay Noel Duterte kasi magaling na doktor yan.
Or in my case, kasi I work in hospital based ako, so it doesn't really matter. they get me whether they like it or not.
Dumating ka ba sa point na parang Kasi nga, especially at the height of the controversies, ang daming pinatay na, di ba? Official government figures, more than 6,000. Kung tinignan mo yung figures coming from the human rights groups, more than 20,000. I mean, gamitin lang natin government figures, 6,000. And to, if people can imagine, gano'ng karaming tao yun, pinatay sa drug war. Diba, tingka ba sa point na talagang baka pinanganak na ito apelido ko?
Hindi. No.
Hindi na.
No, someone asked me that late recently sa Facebook, may nag-comment. Gusto mo magpalit ng pangalan? Never ko naisip. I mean, there was a time na hindi ko ginamit yung Duterte sa Facebook, this particular Facebook account, and I used either my first names or my mother's maiden name in between, just to kind of maybe separate me and distinguish me. But no, I mean, again, nung lumaki ako sa Davao, when I went to school, pagkakakilala sa akin, I was just Noel Duterte. I wasn't the niece of the mayor. Even when he was already mayor, he had really nothing to do with me. So no, my name is mine.
At least may ano ka, meron ka talagang clear sense of ownership and individuality sa pangalan. Will you actively campaign against President Duterte's candidate in 2022? Or even against him kung tumuli siya?
Yeah.
And how do you plan to do it?
I don't know yet. One of my biggest regrets is that I didn't say anything in 2015 and early 2016 before the elections. I kept quiet. So knowing what I did, I should not have kept quiet. That was wrong. So I will make up for that.
How would you describe the past 5 years of the Duterte administration? Diba dinescribe mo na horrifying yung decision niya to run? How would you describe his administration so far?
Depressing and exhausting. For the people, I think. I mean, I know some people may not feel it. For some people do, they just don't want to admit it. Pero the sense that I get is it's been really depressing and exhausting for a lot.
Within the family ba, ano, marami ring mulat like you about what exactly is happening in the Philippines under Duterte? Mas marami na ba yung mulat kesa rin sa, alam mo na?
My mother's side, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in the 2022 election campaign, parang what would be your pitch? What would you tell the voters regarding Duterte's candidate or perhaps even himself?
I think, well, I'm not really sure what I would say about him yet. So far, what I want to do now, well, not that she's actually declared her candidacy, but I would like to push forward the option, the other option, kind of giving light to what the other option can do, what the other option has done, what can be better instead of what's been going on. So sometimes kasi criticisms just are very limiting kasi hanggang criticism lang sila. I mean, hanggang criticism lang. Pero if you provide an alternative option, that may be more useful for people.
So basically to scrutinize the other candidates as alternatives.
Yeah.
Mga lumabit na ba sa'yo lately na perhaps opposition or they would want to tap you to help in their own campaign?
Not opposition candidates. Nobody really bothers me. But I participate sometimes in sharing content, but it's of my own volition. Nobody actually makes me or asks me to. It's just something that I like doing. So I like promoting Lenny because I really believe that she can be a better option. So that's what I do.
Speaking of Lenny Robredo, what do you think of the way the president has been treating her?
Not really unusual in the sense that that's kind of how he treats. That's kind of the way he dismisses women who are not important to him, or actually, sometimes even the ones who are important to him. He doesn't really have a very high opinion of women.
So yung pagiging misogynistic talagang ganun siya. That's how you know him.
Yes.
Okay. Very depressing in discussion, especially if you talk about the things that have been happening since 2016. So,
yep, very depressing.
In a way, yung feeling mo na you are a Duterte, but definitely you are not a Duterte.
I'm a Duterte, but I'm not his kind of Duterte.
Okay. Pero eto na lang, para medyo, ano tayo, we end on a higher note or even optimistic note. Kasi nga, election next year, no? Pero is there still hope in you or somehow optimism? Somehow, voters would wake up and realize na don't go for a candidate simply because he says all the right things or the right words. Kahit pa paano, it's better to really scrutinize whether this person is capable or track record. Do you still have that hope in you?
I think there's always hope. I'm a naturally hopeful person. So I think there's always hope. But also remember, we have to remember that not everybody is on social media. You know, not everybody pays attention to what's going on with Congress or the Senate, you know, all these hearings, whatnot. So we have to remember that. There's hope, I think, but we also have to be realistic in the sense that kung gusto natin ng better option, and gusto natin manalo ang better option, kailangan nating i-advertise ang better option outside of social media, on the ground, in the streets.
Okay. Noel Duterte, thank you for joining us on this podcast. We appreciate it. Maraming maraming salamat. And ingat ka dyan sa New Zealand.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So that's it for this episode of Our Facts First podcast. This has been your host, Christian Esguera. You can watch this episode on YouTube. Just click the subscribe and like button. Of course, you can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. Thank you very much. Maraming salamat po.